we will be pulling the names of 15 individuals that will receive $50,000 cash prizes.
California's governor offering money to those deciding to be vaccinated. He's not alone. It's Tuesday, June 1st, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, 47 Hong Kong pro-democracy activists appear in court. A reminder that tobacco could make COVID much worse. China changes its policy on how many children can be in a family. Parts of New Zealand are inundated. An emotional day for the President of the United States. It's all on today's VOA Asia. From mammoth cash prizes to free perks, states and businesses in America are finding all kinds of ways to encourage residents to get vaccinated against COVID-19. More from VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo.
California Governor Gavin Newsom unveiled a massive pot of money to encourage vaccinations. The $116 million program features gift cards and big cash prizes.
On Friday, June 11th, the state of California will be conducting a drawing. Everybody that has been vaccinated in the state of California will have their name put into this drawing. They are all eligible. And all of those of you before those dates that get vaccinated, I hope you're paying attention, you get the $50 incentive card, and you have a chance to be in a drawing where we will be pulling the names of 15 individuals that will receive $50,000 cash prizes.
The state estimates 12 million eligible Californians have not yet been vaccinated ahead of a planned reopening June 15 that also coincides with big winnings for lucky residents.
But the vast majority of Californians eligible that have received a first dose, those that seek to get a first dose before June 15th, $15 million that night will be distributed, $1.5 million prizes for 10 individuals.
From the West to the East Coast, where in New York City, some businesses are offering free perks to people who show proof of vaccination.
We're juniors in Brooklyn, New York. I came for my free cheesecake because I got vaccinated.
She'll be sharing with a special person.
Just a little warm right here.
Alan Rosen, owner of Junior's Restaurant, says he's doing his part to promote public health.
Because the sooner everyone gets vaccinated, the sooner we get back to normal.
At the Krispy Kreme donut shop in Times Square, you flash your vax card and get a free donut. Josh Sadaka.
I tell them I'm going for my daily vaccine donut. Yeah. I don't want to say this is one of the reasons I got vaccinated, because it wasn't, but it's definitely a plus.
As the nation emerges from months of pandemic restrictions, other businesses are also offering freebies for those who show vaccination cards. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Now, the United States is not the only place making an effort to get more people to be vaccinated for COVID-19.
It's more than a jab in a very ordinary sense that apart from receiving the dose, you will have a chance, or you may have a chance of getting something back. Whether it is extra holiday provided by the employer, whether it is a lucky draw with certain goodies and things like that, or discount coupons in shopping malls or free tickets to the theme park, and so on and so on. So this is a very tangible way in order to overcome what we call the vaccine hesitancy.
Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam said at a news conference Monday that she has written letters to over 100 real estate developers and retail outlets urging them to offer incentives that could boost the city's vaccination campaign. The move comes as Hong Kong faces vaccine hesitancy in its population, with just 20% of its population vaccinated since the end of February, despite widespread access to getting inoculated. Vaccine registration surged over the weekend, with a real estate developer putting a $1.4 million apartment up as a grand prize and a lucky draw, together with other prizes, open to all Hong Kong permanent residents who have been vaccinated. On Sunday, some 26,900 people made online bookings to receive the vaccinations, more than double the 12,600 on Friday, the day the lucky draw was announced. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. China reimposes anti-coronavirus travel controls on its southern province of Guangdong. Japan considering proof of COVID-19 vaccination or negative test results for Olympic spectators. UN says Myanmar's economy meltdown likely to push opium output up. India accelerates vaccine supplies in the fight against COVID-19. Australia and New Zealand unite over China human rights issues. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. Pro-democracy activist in Hong Kong appeared in court Monday, charged with conspiracy to commit subversion over the participation in an unofficial primary election held last year. 47 activists were arrested. 37 of them have been held behind bars without bail for 3 months. Former lawmaker and pro-democracy activist Emily Lau condemned the treatment of the activist in custody.
I'm very, very upset that these people have been locked up for so many weeks in such heat and humidity. It's a form of torture. I don't know how it's going to be conducted this time. Last time, they were there until 3 a.m. or whatever, and some fainted and had to call the ambulance to take them to hospital. So I hope we won't have such a disgraceful repeat performance, because some legal experts said it make our courts look worse than courts in third or fourth world countries. So I hope that everybody will act in a civilized way.
Monday, the judge in the case ruled that the case will resume on July 8th. Then it may be moved to a higher court, which has the power to give longer sentences. Diplomats and rights groups are closely watching the case amid mounting concerns over the independence of the former British colony's judicial system. Over the past few months, some of the activists have announced their withdrawal from politics and said they would never participate in any future elections. Happening now in Asia, an exhibition center in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, was turned into the country's first mega vaccination facility Monday, as the government aims to speed up inoculations amid a sharp rise in infections. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We are happy you are with us on VOA Asia. In marking World No Tobacco Day, the World Health Organization is urging smokers to quit their habit, warning they are at a higher risk of dying from COVID-19 than non-smokers. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Head of WHO's tobacco control program, Vinayak Prasad, tells VOA a plethora of scientific studies over the past year confirm smokers face a 50% higher risk of developing severe disease and death from COVID-19.
It's logical because smoking does compromise on the lung function, and this virus does attack the lungs. So that's where the rationale for taking measures to not use tobacco.
The World Health Organization is urging smokers to join its year-long Quit Tobacco campaign, which helps countries scale up their tobacco control services. These include running national awareness campaigns, opening new cessation clinics, and offering nicotine replacement therapies. Prasad says it is of utmost importance to make users aware of the risks they run. He says some 8 million people will die prematurely this year from tobacco-related illnesses, such as cancers, heart disease, and respiratory illnesses. Most of these deaths will occur in low-income countries. He notes it usually takes decades for these deadly illnesses to develop. Therefore, preventing young people from taking up this habit is essential, as they can lead to a lifelong addiction. He accuses the tobacco industry of targeting young people to get them hooked on their products by offering freebies such as tickets to concerts, nicotine pouches, and e-cigarettes. This, he says, has been met with success in many countries. For example, he notes 38% of Indonesia's teenage boys smoke.
Likewise, in European setting, for example, the girls, the women, tobacco use is so high that the male-to-female difference is no longer there. The industry is continuing to reap all of the benefits they can from this divide, getting more and more women to, and targeting the girl child, adolescents, and then continuing to push their products in developing countries.
WHO reports imposing substantial taxes on tobacco products is one of the most effective ways of getting smokers to quit. Other successful smoke reduction measures include a ban on advertisements and promotions, health warnings on tobacco products, and designating areas as smoke-free zones. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
This is VOA Asia.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news from VOA Asia. South Korean President Moon Jae-in Sunday reiterated his commitment to achieving carbon neutrality by 2050, speaking at the opening of the P4G Virtual Climate Summit. All of the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. China announced Monday that married couples may have up to three children, a major policy shift from the existing limit of two after recent data showed a dramatic decline in births in the world's most populous country. Charles de Ledesma has more.
China's ruling Communist Party says it will ease birth limits to allow all couples to have three children instead of two in hopes of slowing the rapid aging of its population. The ruling party has enforced birth limits since 1980 to restrain population growth, but worries the number of working-age people is falling too fast, while the share over age 65 is rising. In China's view, this threatens to disrupt ambitions to transform the nation into a prosperous consumer society and global technology leader. Now, a ruling party meeting, led by President Xi Jinping, has decided to introduce measures to actively deal with the aging population. Leaders also agreed to raise the retirement age to keep more people in the workforce. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Hundreds of people were evacuated overnight. Many more face the risk of abandoning their homes in New Zealand's Canterbury region as heavy rains raised water levels and caused widespread flooding. Gloria Tso reports.
Hundreds of people have been evacuated from New Zealand's Canterbury region after heavy rains flooded the area over the weekend. Local media reported Monday that at least 300 homes were evacuated overnight as river water levels rose across the region in a, quote, one-in-100-year deluge. Highways, schools, and offices were closed, and New Zealand's Defense Forces deployed helicopters to rescue people stranded in the Ashburton area.
Well, I went to bed about 10 o'clock last night, and it was not a sign of the river. Get up at 6 o'clock this morning, and it's gone. Half the farm's underwater.
Ashburton's mayor, Neil Brown, said half of the city would have to be evacuated if the river's levees broke, but that there was still some capacity in the river. New Zealand's Met Service issued a red warning on Sunday for heavy rain in Canterbury and sounded multiple warnings elsewhere. The country's emergency management minister has announced a donation of over $70,000 to support Canterbury's flooded communities, adding that it was still too early to know the full cost of the damage.
Gloria Tso reporting. Making headlines in Asia, China and Taiwan traded more accusations Monday about COVID-19 vaccines, with Beijing saying they should not be a political tool, while Taiwan's ruling party saying China was the black hand preventing it assessing shots internationally. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We continue on VOA Asia. North Korea's state media Monday criticized the recent termination of a pact between the United States and South Korea that capped the development of South Korea's ballistic missiles, calling it a sign of Washington's shameful double-dealing. Brian Wood reports.
North Korea's state media on Monday slammed the termination of an agreement between the U.S. and South Korea that limited South Korea's missile range. Korea's official KCNA news agency quoted an article written by described international affairs critic Kim Myung-chol, accusing the U.S. of shameful double-dealing. The pact limited the development of South Korea's ballistic missile program to a range of 500 miles. South Korean President Moon Jae-in announced an end to that deal after his first summit with U.S. President Joe Biden earlier this month. Kim criticized Moon for welcoming the agreement's dissolution. He said, quote, "The termination is a stark reminder of the U.S.'s hostile policy toward the Democratic People's Republic of Korea and its shameful double-dealing." He said Pyongyang will counter the move.
That was correspondent Brian Wood. Now on VOA Asia, Britain's intelligence agencies, along with other Western European security services, are assisting a new American investigation trying to establish the origins of the coronavirus pandemic, according to officials on both sides of the Atlantic. The central focus of the investigation is on the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China, as suspicions mount that the novel bat-derived virus roiling the world, and which has led to at least 4 million deaths, may have leaked from its lab, a claim Beijing has furiously denied. President Biden observed his first Memorial Day as Commander-in-Chief, calling on Americans to commemorate their fallen heroes by remembering their fight for the nation's ideals. Jennifer King reports.
Remember those who gave their all in the service of America.
In a wreath-laying ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery, President Biden stood with his head bowed and made the sign of the cross as he stood at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and later in remarks extolled the sacrifices of the fallen for the pursuit of democracy.
We were built on an idea, the idea of liberty, an opportunity for all. We've never fully realized that aspiration of our founding. But every generation has opened the door a little wider.
This Sunday marked the 6th anniversary of the death of the president's son, Beau Biden, a veteran who died of brain cancer. I'm Jennifer King.
The U.S. president visits Tulsa, Oklahoma this week as part of the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre. The visit comes as the United States reflects on its legacy of slavery and racial violence. Michelle Quinn has more.
At a time when many Americans are discussing race, President Joe Biden will visit Tulsa Tuesday to be part of the commemoration of the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre. The city is expected to resume the excavation of a suspected mass grave for the bodies of some of the more than 300 people killed in the violence. The trigger for the massacre was the arrest of a 19-year-old black man accused of assaulting a 17-year-old white girl. The events of 1921 resulted in the destruction of Tulsa's Greenwood District, a prosperous part of the city that included what was known as Black Wall Street. Only in recent years has the story of what happened been shared more widely. Viola Fletcher is a 107-year-old survivor of the Tulsa Race Massacre.
I still see black men seen being shot, black bodies lying in the street. I still smell smoke and see fire. I still see black businesses being burned. I still hear airplanes flying overhead. I hear the screams. I have lived through the massacre every day. Our country may forget this history, but I cannot.
Last year, the three living survivors of the massacre filed a reparations lawsuit contending that the city of Tulsa, Tulsa County, the state of Oklahoma, and the Tulsa Chamber of Commerce were responsible for what happened. Questions remain over whether reparations should be paid and how much to survivors and descendants. A new museum commemorating the massacre, Greenwood Rising, is opening this week. Plans for a concert were scuttled when negotiations about payments to survivors and descendants reportedly broke down. Some officials say marking the 100th anniversary of the massacre is especially important now, coming a year after the death of George Floyd, a black man, in police custody in Minnesota.
The incident sparked months of protests in cities nationwide and around the world and spurred many, including Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma, to consider racial inequities that remain in American life.
Little did I know the events dealing with race that would happen in the last 12 months. And the awakening the nation really has had to what is still left undone in the issue of race in America.
The Tulsa incident was the deadliest racial massacre in U.S. history, according to the National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, adding that the people of Tulsa and the nation are still reckoning with the massacre's legacy. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
In the Heights, a film about the dreams and struggles of the Latino community in a New York neighborhood is Lin-Manuel Miranda's love letter to the place where he grew up. It also represents Miranda's high-stakes bet that people will flock to the theater after months of COVID restrictions. VOA's Penelope Pulu has more from the cast and the filmmaker.
Dancing, singing to the tune of salsa and hip-hop makes director John Chu's film, In the Heights, a musical portrait of diversity in New York City's Latino neighborhood of Washington Heights. Chu, who made the hit film Crazy Rich Asians, spoke to VOA about the universal character of his new film.
I'm not from Washington Heights. I'm not from the East Coast. I'm all California kid growing up in a Chinese restaurant. And it spoke to me in so many ways of growing up in an immigrant community where your aunties and your uncles are taking care of you and putting their hopes and their dreams on you.
Responding to whether he, an Asian American, was the right fit to direct a story about Latin American immigrants, John Chu says as a first-generation American, the message inspired him.
I knew I could get us resources, spend money on casting it right, not trying to just get movie stars, because guess what? In the system that we have now, there aren't a lot of movie stars that represent a big swath of Latinx community because the talent isn't tapped because there are not as many roles.
Usnavi, played by Anthony Ramos, is the film's narrator and central figure in the intersecting stories of the neighborhood's residents. He's a bodega owner who dreams of returning to his home country, the Dominican Republic, only to find out that home has all along been in Washington Heights.
We had to assert our dignity in small ways.
Broadway veteran actress Olga Meredith plays Abuela Claudia, a reprise of the role she played when Lin-Manuel Miranda first created the musical for the stage in 2008.
This was his school project at Wesleyan that the director, the Broadway director Thomas Cale, picked up. What a creative genius and wonderful person and humanitarian and friend.
Jimmy Smits, one of the first Latino actors to break through in the 1980s, plays Kevin Rosario, a small business owner sacrificing for his daughter's education at Stanford University. Smith says after the pandemic, the country is ready for a life-asserting film.
As we open up as a society, it's a little bit of joy that we can give to people. So I hope people get to see it in movie theaters.
Corey Hawkins plays Benny, the only African-American in the community and in the film's cast.
I am also a part of that diaspora. It was just important to celebrate those differences and to fall in love with the community. And I did. I lived there when I was in school.
Vanessa, a fashion designer dreaming to make it big in Manhattan's fashion district, is played by Melissa Barrera. Vanessa is also Snavi's romantic interest.
The yearning of wanting to get out so that you can pursue your dreams is a very universal feeling. And also the blessing that that represents, to be able to be in a story that is going to uplift our community so much.
John Chu describes the film to VOA as a celebration of America.
All our challenges are different. However, the solutions are similar, of just sharing. Let's just share where we are. Let's share our music. Let's share our food. And when people walk out of that, they're going to want to know more. That's the first step of understanding each other, sharing.
Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Amy Heibels, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melman. Enjoy your day ahead and stay safe.